You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Where do you go for comics new and old?
Garage sales?
Wrong! Where do you see your favorite television and movie stars?
In magazines, mostly.
Wrong again! And where do you go to see the best in cosplay?
Well, there are lots of different options if you're looking for something...
So incredibly wrong! Wizard World Comic Con. Wizard World Comic Con offers live entertainment and gaming, comics new and old, cosplay, toys and memorabilia, and a chance to meet your favorite television and movie stars. Meet Star Trek star William Shatner and Hellboy's Ron Perlman July 13th through the 15th in Boise, Idaho. Then, meet Gotham stars Robin Lord Taylor and Sean Pertwee August 3rd through the 5th in Winston-Salem. Then, meet Guardian stars Dave Bautista and Pom Clementia and the Winter Soldier Sebastian Stan August 23rd through the 26th in Chicago, Illinois. For news, celebrity updates, and tickets to future shows, go to wizardworld.com. Don't feel like paying full price? No problem. Use promo code CANDAIR at checkout.
No space.
To get 10% off your tickets. So, where are you going to go for your pop culture fix?
The internet?
Oh, good answer.
Really?
No! Wizard World Comic Con.
Go to wizardworld.com for tickets.
Hi there, this is Mike Quinn, Nine Numb from Return of the Jedi, The Force Awakens, and The Last Jedi. You're listening to Canned Air Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I'm Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And joining us today to talk about his show on Amazon Prime, Comics Watching Comics, we welcome Kevin Gotee. Kevin, thanks so much for being with us today.
Hi-o. How are you boys? Good?
Oh, everyone's good over here on this side, I think. How about you?
Not too bad. It's fucking hot over here in our neck of the woods, so...
It's fucking hot here, too.
I was going to say, I could be...
Where are you guys located?
Columbus, Ohio.
All right. You city slickers, you.
Yeah, look at us. Look at us.
You guys said that LeBron left, you could care less.
Yeah, we don't care.
Yeah, we're nerds, remember?
Oh, that's
the comic book like and type.
Noted.
In our retro roundtable, we're going to be looking back into pop culture history. It was this month in 1985 that Back to the Future came out and made its stamp on pop culture. So we're going to be talking about Back to the Future there. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And then the comic vault. Jack, what do you have to talk about?
Happy.
Is that all you got to say, Pharrell? Is there any more to that?
Well, it was picked up on Sci-Fi during Christmas time as a quick series.
Okay.
By the good old Grant Morrison.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. So you know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Twisted and good.
One of the things we'll be talking about there, and then we're going to turn our attention over to Kevin and talk more about so many things he has going on. I'm excited to get into. But before we do all that, social media. Find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. As always, we are on Patreon, patreon.com/CannedAirPod. Show a little love on the Patreon site, and you get access to our other show, the Patreon Pod. And other goodies to come. And then what else am I forgetting?
If you're going to Wizard World,
oh yeah,
use Canned Air, no spaces, in the promo code box and get 10% off.
It helps.
Yes.
Those tickets are fucking expensive.
Yeah,
it helps.
They are.
So, all right. Well, with all that behind us, let's just kick it off with this week's Retro Roundtable.
It's showtime.
Got it, dude.
Spared no expense.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
All right, guys. Back to the Future. I'm going to start with Kevin here. Back to the Future. I mean, where does it rank on your movie meter? Is it one of your favorites? Is it just kind of like it?
Toward the bottom, it's terrible.
Serious?
No, I'm totally kidding. It's one of the greatest films ever. Are you kidding? I mean, I did a thing recently. I review movies on my website as well. But I was sitting there, I was going through the AFI list. And I'm like, oh, a lot of these AFI ones, they need to rewatch them, or people are just out of their minds. A lot of just garbage. And I pulled a bunch off on my own, off the AFI list. And I wanted to put a few on there. And how is Back to the Future not on the AFI's top 100? That you find this is something. Two things you'll never find. One, an Asian family, a family photo where everybody, where anyone is smiling. Two, find me anyone who hates Back to the Future. I challenge you. That is impossible. I have never, ever met someone go, Back to the Future, awful. Never.
Yeah, hindsight now, that was a pretty stupid question to ask, wasn't it?
No, I mean, it's great. I mean, people started thinking fourth dimensionally from that film, you know?
Sure.
Fantastic film, top to bottom. Every time it's on cable or TV, you get sucked right in.
Oh, yeah.
Spawned and failed. I love the second one. You can even argue the second is as good as the first. Third is fine. Some people hate it. I don't. Not it's as good. Fun. Still, yeah.
I've always enjoyed all of them. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. The second one has got to be my favorite. I don't know. It's so complex. There's so many layers to it. Yes. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole alternate future and all that. It's so smart and well-written. All the little Anze has in all of them to each other, to all the different films. I mean, it's just, it's fantastic. It really is. And I think it's a perfect film, top to bottom.
Did they do those movies like they did Lord of the Rings, where they just kind of filmed them all at once?
No, they did not. They shot the first one independently, and the second two they did. In fact,
at the end of the second one, they had all the clips.
I read this in the, I actually have a Back to the Future book. Like a did you know fact book. The girl who played Jennifer Parker in the first one, her mom got sick and she didn't want to go back to acting when they filmed 2 and 3, hence Elizabeth Shue.
That's right. Yes. I forgot about that.
Yeah, they banged them out because they couldn't have people getting older. I mean, obviously he's supposed to play a teenager, and what was he, like 25 by that point, yeah, you know?
Right.
So they had to bang them out back to back, so that way they did that. So yeah, there's your answer.
No, I can't remember the release date. Were they just like year after year after year? Did they come out over 3 years? Or did they have like 2 years between their releases?
No, I'd never forget because I saw 2 and 3 in the theaters. 2 came out over Thanksgiving. 3 came out in 89. 3 came out in the summer of 90.
Oh, okay.
Wow, it's really that late?
Yeah, it does seem late, doesn't it? Shit, how'd that get under my radar?
I don't know. Same here.
90. And you call yourself movie nerds. Shame on you.
Comic nerds.
Yes.
Comic nerds.
We don't have books about movies sitting around our houses.
We're actually not professionals in anything. We're just kind of pretending here.
Yeah.
It's fun to pretend.
Pee-wee taught me that.
Oh, my God. What about the tech that the movie has kind of inspired, or at least things that we saw in the movie in 1985 are like, wow, wouldn't that be cool? And now we have, like, Marty being or his dad being bitched out on the flat screen TV, you know, the FaceTime, the big, I don't know, was that a projection television?
Picture in picture?
Yes, the picture in picture, yes. I mean, that's a reality now. And ours looks much better than it did on there.
Way better, yeah. They're flat screens instead of big boxes still.
Right. And then remember, also, somebody, somebody was doing a Kickstarter when we started this show, like, I don't know, like 4 years ago for a hoverboard. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the big and obvious one is the hoverboard. In fact, I remember they did a special, I think it was at Channel 4, I think it was NBC. Leslie Nielsen did it, and he did a lot of the things from the film, and he had a hoverboard. He goes, all right, kids, ready to see the hoverboard? And he throws it in and just clunks to the ground. He goes, not ready for prime time yet, or something like that, you know?
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah,
oh,
go look it up.
One thing about hoverboards that really makes me mad is the two-wheeled things that kids get that kept catching on fire the last couple Christmases or whatever.
Segways?
Yeah, it's like a mini Segway, just doesn't have the handlebars on it.
Oh,
but they call those hoverboards, and they're, I don't know, it's just, that's not what I know a hoverboard to be.
No.
Because you're not really even floating, you're just driving on a couple of wheels on your feet.
I would think that, I don't know, the part of me thinks that kids today have, you know, just as fond of memories of Back to the Future as we do, but that may not be the case. What's that? You know, I just figure it's like kind of like the Wizard of Oz, where everybody knows it, you know, generation after generation, but may not be the case. What about you, Jack?
The second movie, the way that when Marty went back into the past again, and like it was shot for shot, everything was happening at the same time, but he was in it. Just the way that was done, I can't tell if it's
like avoiding himself.
Yeah, when he's sitting in the car with his mom, and he's slinking across the side of the car. If that was actually like green screened, or how they did that, I've never really looked into it. But
I wonder if they like actually used the original footage, or they probably had to have reshot a lot of those scenes.
Because some of them have different angles with him in the background, which I'm sure is just a double, like on the stage playing guitar and stuff while he's hiding from all the Biff's minions. But I love the way that it shot.
The Biffians.
Yeah. This brings you back to the first one.
One of which was none other than the guy who played Brandon Lee in, Bruce Lee, sorry, in the Bruce Lee Dragon story, and also Billy Zane.
Really?
Was he really?
From Titanic, and if you remember that horrible film, The Phantom.
Yeah, no, I know exactly who you're talking to. It's crazy how often that Bruce Lee movie comes up on this show.
Yeah.
Without even trying. It just always finds its way in, and I love it. That was a good movie. I enjoyed that film. But no, I did not know that. I didn't know that at all. One thing I did read online is when they were waiting for Chuck Berry's permission to use Johnny B. Goode in that scene in the first movie, and that he held out and held out and held out until the day of filming to give his approval. Yeah.
Talk about sweating bullets.
No shit. Production. All the money that's gone into that. Yeah. I would have picked a new song by that point. All right, well, moving on.
Right. Well, I guess they finally offered him the truckload of money that he wanted.
Yeah. No shit. One obvious thing that Back to the Future has given the world, and, you know, this obviously isn't the best thing, the movies themselves are the best thing, but Rick and Morty. We wouldn't have no Rick and Morty if not for Back to the Future.
All right, so I think I finished season one. I don't get it. It's fine. Maybe I heard season two is a lot better, but I wasn't, like, laughing out loud all that often with Rick and Morty.
It's a different humor, and I got to tell you, like, I saw it maybe two or three times and had the same kind of feeling. I didn't really care for it, and I just remember out of the blue, I don't know if I saw a commercial or what it was, but I kind of was like, I want to watch that show again, and like after the third helping, I was into it. But yes, the later seasons get much better, and they actually, some of the episodes actually have some weight to them.
Yes, they do.
You know,
especially the finales.
First seasons are always experimental with any series you're looking at. So I would strongly recommend a look at the second season.
Shoot, the third season with the president when they're fighting against the president. I can't help but laugh constantly in the whole episode.
It's a good show. One thing I don't recommend doing is getting online and looking at the video that inspired it.
No, my God,
is it fucking graphic.
The Doc and Marty.
I had to look away. I was like, this is disturbing. This is fucked up. I can't watch. Oh, what else we have, guys? Back to the Future.
3D movies. The Jaws that came out. They're not quite that good yet, but... I mean, they're still 3D, and it's
good in the aspect where it's like middle of the day and you're seeing this thing approaching because the graphic of that shark looked like shit.
It's horrible. Good old blocky CG.
Cars with the hover conversion. I mean, we thought we'd have flying cars today, too.
That's true.
Like cars that run off of trash. We haven't seen those yet.
Oh,
they're called Yugos. Yes,
there you go. And speaking of hover cars, you've seen the Uber prototype videos where they're going to have little like helipads where like two people can sit in this thing and it'll carry you to your destination.
Saw that too. Hopefully, you know,
fucking
crash.
Thank you.
Now you're gonna lose a lot of people on those ones. I think
you drop like a fucking rock. Oh, there's gonna be no way. I'd have to wait for like it to be active for 5 years with a low accident rate for me to be like, maybe, you know.
Yeah,
definitely. I'm not just going to go jump in one of those damn things.
Do you think today, if they redid or if they did another Back to the Future, if DeLoreans would might come back into a production.
I feel like they would put it on, you know, that whoever, whatever car company made the biggest bid on the movie would have the new car, you know, they'd have to.
Yeah, like the Avengers with Acura. How many times are they driving a car?
Right.
Or the worst is when you see, like, the, was it Nice? I see, this is A, how much I pay attention to commercials, and B, how impactful they are. Do you remember there was a car, there was actually, for the last few Star Wars films, there were car commercials. Like, not in one scene did they drive a fucking car in any of these films, you assholes. Like, stop it. You know? God
damn. You are
damn,
so right.
You know, they try and shorten it and everything, Christ sakes.
Well, oh, that drove me nuts. And
like,
Rogue One,
Nissan sponsoring Rogue One. Like, no, you're not. Like, the only thing more egregious would be, like, a Taco Bell's and now the new Space Cantina Burrito or some garbage like that.
That would have worked so much better. It would probably get me to go to Taco Bell versus getting a car that I can't afford.
But those fucking commercials.
You can't afford Nissan? Come on, man. I could afford you a few bucks, but not that many.
They were so fucking stupid to boot. I mean, they weren't even trying to be subtle about their affiliation with the movie. You know, I've seen similar deals in the past where they just kind of make reference at the end of the commercial, go see Star Wars in theaters this Friday, you know, where this is like driving your car in and out of like AT-AT legs and like...
And then they give them one-liners right from the movies, too.
I'm like pretty sure I swore at the TV once or twice when I had seen that. Right there with you. I agree with you totally. One thing I never got to do that I'm very regretful of is do the Back to the Future ride at Universal Studios before it disappeared.
No?
No, really? I never did. Did you?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Did it, I don't know, at least three times. I was there recently when they had the Simpsons ride.
Now that I've done.
Yeah, no, Back to the Future was dope. It was a pretty good, pretty cool, pretty fun story. You had to chase Biff going around through time. You had to go through like a volcano with dinosaurs and shit. Pretty fun.
That would be cool. If you get on YouTube, that's one of my guilty little pleasures, getting you on YouTube watching rides. Yeah, playthrough. And I watched that one, and it looked like it would have been so much fun, and, you know, having that 3D feel to it. Because like he was saying, you know, you're flying through like volcanoes, and I think a T-Rex tries to bite at you at one point, but, you know, watching these things on your phone are nothing being there.
It's
obviously
like watching the Twister experience. I was like, really? There's no way I'd have gone through
that. That's a little different. You get exactly off your phone what you get in real life from that experience. Like, that's it. But that's why it's gone now, along with the Terminator one. What about Marty?
No, the Terminator ride, it's not a ride. It's a movie, and it's still there. I mean, I was there a year and a half ago. They still had it.
Oh, I thought they retired it. I thought they had just retired it.
Nope. No, I mean, again, I was there February. Well, again, was it February 17, and it was still there. So
wow. Okay, I've been misled. Yeah, I thought it was gone.
And actually, I will be back in Universal in 2 weeks. I'm going to a work meeting in Orlando. So I'm going to take the day and then go to Universal for the day and bang out more rides again. I'm quite the fan of the Hulk, the Transformers, and the Spider-Man rides. It's, you know, my favorite.
Spider-Man ride is out of this world. I haven't done
it. It's good. I mean, look, come on. The Hulk is the best there by far. By far.
Well, I can't do coasters. I'm not a coaster guy. They make me
sick
as fuck. Oh, I get sick as hell, like, really easily. But
don't be a baby. Come on, let's go.
I tell you what, the Simpson ride really did a number on me, too, but I had to do it. I'm a huge Simpsons fan, you know. I had to power through. Plus, I just ate that disgusting Krusty Burger, like I always mentioned, and that shit was so
good. Oh, did
gross.
You? I went to Moe's and had a Duff.
I did that, too. I chased the burger with a beer, and damn,
chased
it was disgusting.
Krusty Burger with a Duff?
Like, that burger had, like, fucking imitation cheese on it. It wasn't even like real cheese. It was like this liquid
oil-based orange.
Shame on you for expecting an amusement park food to be good.
Well, I mean, if I hadn't even done the ride, I would have been sick. This thing was fucking gross, and it had just a taste that you could not wash out of your mouth. It just wasn't going anywhere.
I'm curious, but I'd probably kill myself after for doing it.
The one thing I regret not getting was the Lard Lad Great Big Donut, like Homer Donut.
I wanted one so bad. They looked terrible, too.
Was it?
No, I didn't have it. I said I looked at them, I'm like, oh, God. They look terrible, one. I mean, my thing is I hate overpaying for garbage food. Like, yeah. I'm a sports guy. I go to, you know, the Yankee games often. I go to the Giants games. And I always eat before I go in because I loathe overpaying for garbage food. And that was the donut. I'm like, I am not paying like $5 just to say I had a garbage lard lad donut.
And see, that's exactly what was going through my mind there. I was like, I've already dropped like fucking $200 just to walk in the door here and do a few things. This isn't going to complete my experience. But then after I left, I was like, oh, I should have got the fucking donut. Oh, well. Next time, I'll get sick on something else, right?
Right on.
What else do we have, guys? Back to the Future. I think I'm kind of tapped here.
Yeah, I am almost too.
There was a hot second. There was a rumor that they're going to do a fourth one. I mean, a lot of times you're like, yeah, that horse has left the barn. But I'm like, you know what? God damn it. I'd be super duper curious to see what they would do with this. I mean, they would need a self-drive car because we know Marty McFly can't drive with the shakes and shit. So we would need somebody else. He would need an Uber. He'd need Doc to drive that thing. You know what I mean?
When you think about how old Christopher Lloyd is now, every once in a while I see him in the cameo on the TV shows, and he's old, but he still looks like he could still, you know, do some crazy stuff.
He looks like he's bordering senile.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I don't know anything about him, but in the last few times I've seen him, I was like, it's not going to be long, yeah. You know?
I think he aged quickly and then kind of slowly after he hit
that. He kind of had that Betty White effect where he's, like, been old for years, but it's just recently, like, actually hitting him, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You see him, he's like, damn, he's old, but he doesn't seem like he's as old as he is, but he is old. I don't know.
Do you know how old he is, or...?
Let's look it up. Let me see here.
Let's take a guess. Without even looking, I'm going to say 78.
I wouldn't go as high as that. I'd probably say early 70s, maybe.
All right.
You said 78, and you said early 70s?
Yeah, 72, I'd say.
I'm leaning more Kevin's way. I'd have to say probably late 70s. And 79.
Wow.
Oh!
Look at that!
And I get both showcases.
That is an interesting thought, though. Let's say, I would hope if a new movie did come along, it would certainly be a continuation in the universe rather than anyone trying to reboot it, because that's just sacrilegious right there. You don't do that.
Yeah, what are they going to do? Have his kids, you know? Is he going to dress up as his kids again?
I was going to say, being in the same family, he would have to play his son like he did when he was in the future. But then that wouldn't work anyway because he's all old now, too. Yeah. Unless they just did Princess Leia thing and CG him into it.
Oh, CG, yeah, exactly. Let me give you two more did you knows. Number one, Thomas Wilson, right? This is his name. His son got drafted by the New York Mets to be a pitcher.
Really?
Yeah. It's in the Post a couple weeks ago. I was like, oh.
I read that he carries cards on him that when people...
Yeah, that's my second point, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steal your
thing. No, how would you know that? You know, I didn't send in my list of talking points to you. How the hell would you know?
No, go ahead, please.
No, yeah, he has a card that has like a bunch of FAQs on it. Like, yes, Michael J. Fox is a nice guy, and whatever. That's all I remember.
Yeah, hearing. Like questions that more than likely whoever's always standing in front of him are going to ask. Yeah, I tried so hard to find info to try to get him on the show, but after I saw the card thing, I was like, well, if he's handing out cards, he's sure as fucking going to humor us.
Yeah, just send us a card or scan it and send it to us. Here's all your questions.
Yeah.
You should just call him and go, what are you looking at, butthead?
I would imagine that it would, a fourth Back to the Future would kind of play out kind of the way like Tron Legacy did, where it just...
I love Tron Legacy.
Mm-hmm. I did too, but it was just, you know, someone kind of stumbled. It was his son, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But they, you know, you don't have any knowledge of the son from the early movies, so... You know, Marty's son finds blueprints or some shit.
Maybe it'd be a grandson. It would probably work better this time. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, that would work just fine. But yeah, like blueprints are found of the DeLorean since it was destroyed and maybe adapted to a modern car. Not that that's what I would want to see. You got to keep the DeLorean.
A new Camaro.
Yeah, no, that's front and center. I don't know how the hell anybody else could even think of trying to pull play around with it and, you know, do something else besides the DeLorean.
Yeah.
We have like a, you know,
it's a main character.
A Firebird or some shit. I don't know. I'm not a car guy. But something else would be sacrilege.
Absolutely. It's a main character. It's like the Millennium Falcon. You know, you can't do anything to them. They're just as important as the characters that ride within them.
Let's take a 1 second tangent break here, since you already said it, since you guys are self-proclaimed nerds. Solo, thoughts?
Sucked.
Wasn't a fan.
Nah.
I thought it was fine. Like, I had low expectations. There were some cool things. The end was cool. How he found Chewbacca, all right. I had low expectations. It's not episode one bad, all right?
No.
Then there's a big chasm. I mean, I thought two was fine. People hated two. I thought two was good to a degree. I liked the ending. Last Jedi I liked to a degree. I liked a lot of it, but I didn't like how it was so. First of all, I don't mind if a film was long. It just dragged. That's the problem with Last Jedi. That whole Benicio del Toro garbage. Cut that out. Give me a half an hour of my life back. No, thank you. Force Awakens. I mean, it was Star Wars 2.0. It was fine. It was good. I would put it in that bunch, but at the bottom level of that bunch. And then, of course, then I have, obviously, 4, 5, 6, Rogue One, and Episode 3 in there as well. I think Episode 3 is highly underrated. It's very good.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's a great film. It's, I like it more than I do Last Jedi, for sure. I think depending what you're looking for in Solo depends on if it's a good film or not. You know, if you're looking for like a summer action adventure, it's great in that aspect. You know what I mean? The thing with Star Wars is people have put a lot of stock into them. And they're, I don't know, this was a good opportunity to add depth to that character. And it didn't take that opportunity. It just kind of is like, oh, he mentioned a Kessel Run once. Oh, he was friends with this Lando guy. We got to put him in there. Oh, he knew a hairy dude. Let's put him in. You know what I mean? So, right. And like all the big suspense moments kind of relied all on the same formula, where it was just like last minute thrills. Like he punches the button at the last second. You know, it was. I can't remember the exact instances, but I remember that trope playing out like
the Millennium Falcon stalled, and then all of a sudden it started up and took off bat out of hell. Yeah,
yeah. So I had fun. It was a fun watch for sure. But
the second half was better than the first.
As far as my Star Wars canon, though, I mean, I kind of this Solo doesn't leave a scar because Last Jedi already did. If it wasn't for Last Jedi, I'd probably take this one a lot more personal.
But. Solo, I could just throw it away because I never wanted it anyway, so I just kind of write it off like, whatever.
Rogue One was a perfect Star Wars story because it added depth to, you know, it butts right up to A New Hope, and it adds so much depth to that story.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch them right back to back. It adds to it.
Yeah.
Adds to it. Solo didn't.
You totally can watch them back to back, and obviously, they segue perfectly, and that's some badass shit with Vader in the and with Rogue One, and that was great. It was great seeing him again for a hot second.
And I heard if you butt them up and turn the sound off and turn on Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, they play. I couldn't help myself. Excuse my smart ass. I'm sorry.
You should have.
All right. Well, with that, I think it's time to move on. I was going to do a quick T-shirt commercial, but I don't have it in me, I don't think, today. So I'm just going to say, if you want to buy a Candair T-shirt, go to society6/CandairPod, buy a T-shirt, mugs, what else? Coasters.
We got coasters now.
Koozies. Yeah. All kinds of crap with our name on it. Buy it. Help us. Buy it.
How much of that stuff have you guys sold?
Very little.
Yes.
Very little.
Thoughts?
It's worth a shot, though.
My show, I have a T-shirt. I'm trying to sell them, and it's just like, well, hold on a second. Like, who honestly gives a shit? Like, wearing their show like that. You know, my friends will wear the shirts to promote it, but it's just like, who honestly wants like a mug with a podcast name on? Like,
every once in a while, we'll sell one. Yeah. I mean, it's few and far between, but you know, wherever you can get a few bucks here and there,
I got an extra dollar.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, I'm all about trying to figure out what the, you know, get the money going in, but. It's funny. I had I was in Atlantic City last weekend, and Sebastian Maniscalco was there. I'm not a fan. I don't find him funny, but he had an entire store on the corner of the casino the Borgata with all of his merch. People were wearing, I saw them wearing like Sebastian Maniscalco hoodies. He's a comedian. Like, he's not a, it's not a sports thing. He's a comedian. And the prices were just jacked up and people were paying it. I'm like, God damn it. I'm insanely jealous that he's selling this shit and making money. It just drove me nuts. I was like, well, good on him. He figured it out. But nonetheless, aggravating as all hell that I'm not there.
Maybe he paid people to buy it.
No chance. He, that fan base is rabid and they run through walls. They're watching Italian people defend Maniscalco is like watching black people defend Black Panther. Like, they will, but none of them will. They are the best no matter what, and you can never tell them otherwise. Otherwise, the whole, you know, they'll go to the death defending those guys.
Oh my God, this is awesome. Where were we?
We got done doing commercials.
You're like, I got off the beaten path just a little bit, but okay.
No, that's fine. I like going off the path.
That's how we do typically, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's swing open the door to the comic vault. Jack, you want to kick us off this week?
Sure.
What do you got?
I have The Trade, even though I didn't read it all. I've only got maybe through the first chapter of it, of the series Happy, which came out on Sci-Fi this past Christmas. And it's about a cop. Used to be a great cop detective. Somehow he went down the bad road, and now he's just a big drunk and stuff all over the place, all disheveled. At the beginning of the book, there's a couple of mobsters talking shit about going to kill this dude, which is the cop, and they're going to put out, there's a hit on the guy. So they're going to the house, do this hit. They get up to the house, find that they're two brothers. They're all this Italian mob, of course.
Two brothers.
Yep, tied up in there. I think they're dead already. And they look out the window, or there's a sign on their chest that says, answer the fucking phone. So they answer the phone, and it says, look out the window. And they look out the window, and there's some hooker that's holding a paper that says, turn around. Now,
it's an elaborate ruse.
Yeah. Back even farther, the cop, I can't remember what his name is, it's Chris Nathan Sachs, something last name Sachs. He saved a hooker from a serial killer called Jack the Hammer from getting killed. Like, he busts in on them while she's giving him head. He blows her away. He gives the hooker a paper.
Giving head, blows away.
There's all kind of puns in there. He gives her the newspaper and says, you know, have a good night. Just put this out the window. So back to the mobsters. They see the paper that says, turn around. He turns around. The cop is standing there with the gun to his head, blows all those guys away. One of them's still alive. He gets a couple of shots on the cop. While the guy's dying, he tells the cop a password that is where the whole mob's whole fortune is, in a bank account. It's a password to the bank account. So the cop ends up leaving the house, has a heart attack. He gets picked up by the cops. They bring him to the hospital. On the way to the hospital in the ambulance, all of a sudden, he starts seeing, because he's getting all meds and stuff, glycerin, painkillers to make him feel better. He starts seeing this little cartoon flying unicorn.
What the fuck? Your description is playing out like a Benny Hill episode. You gotta
read it or watch the show. It's so good, and it's so twisted. But the unicorn's just like, hey, wake up. You know, we got to go save this. I can't remember the little girl's name. She's in trouble. You're the only one that can see me. Meanwhile, he's like, what the fuck is going on? So they get back to the hospital, come to find out it's a mob hospital. A mobstiple,
if you will.
Yes. The mob boss has put out a hit on the cop in the hospital with this guy that's going to come and cut his penis into like pepperoni slices. All of a sudden, there's Jesus a big fight Christ. Because the...
What is fucking going on here, Tom?
It's a great book. I can't wait to...
He follows with the penis mutilation. That's a great fucking buck.
But then the horse, his name's Happy, of course, and he's sitting there telling the cop, you know, what's going on. So he ends up beating the guys that are coming to kill him in the hospital. He gets out of the hospital. That's the end of the first chapter.
The horse is Happy, Jesus, of course.
Christ. From the Twisted Mind of Grant Morrison. So that'll tell you all right there. Once I've done reading, I'll let you read it. That or I'll get the...
I don't know how to react right now. What do I do?
Go to the next segment. Yeah.
There we go. Happy. I'm going to have to look through that, I think. Yep. All right. Kevin, I understand you're not much of a comic reader, but you like the superhero film, sir.
Yeah, after hearing that last review, I'm still going to stay away from the comic book genre. Jesus Christ. No, yeah, I am. I am a fan of the superhero films. I have seen Deadpool 2, thought it was pretty good. First one slightly better, not as funny as the first. This one dragged out in the end, I felt. I did love Cable. He was great. But I thought it dragged a bit with the whole death scene and all that.
Yeah.
You know, not crazy about it. Avengers, Avengers 3 was nothing short of brilliant. I dare say that's the second or third best superhero film of all time. Only second to Dark Knight. And I don't know if you guys are going to shit on me, but I love Days of Future Past for the X-Men.
Oh, same here. You know, yeah. I don't understand why people give those movies. I mean, some of them deserve the shit they get, but Days of Future Past and even Apocalypse,
stop. Apocalypse was garbage.
Seriously.
Garbage.
I didn't like it at first. After the second time, I kind of warmed up to it a little bit.
Dude, Apocalypse in the fucking... And this time I know from the cartoons, and then I even read this in the comics. He's like 8, 9, 10 feet, something like that. He's super tall. He's fucking like 5'8". He's looking eye to eye with What's-Her-Face. And I'm like, this dude's supposed to be the biggest, baddest guy in the entire X-Men universe. And he's eye to eye? Bullshit. Yeah. And it didn't go anywhere. Not Psylocke. They did nothing with her.
Oh, her character was garbage. Yeah, she was stupid.
Waste of time. First Class was very good. All right, let's go down it. X-Men 1, not as good. Doesn't hold up as much anymore, I think, the first X-Men. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't.
X2, very good. Love X2. Mm-hmm. X3 is trash.
Yep.
First Class is excellent. Days of Future Past, I've already stated my love for it. And Apocalypse was shit. That's it. It's been a lot of hit and miss, I would say.
Logan, what about Logan?
Oh, yeah, love Logan. Logan was great.
Yeah.
But the other two Wolverines were not. The first one sucked. Yes. The second one was not that good either, I thought, with Silver Samurai. The third one, Logan, was insane. I love Logan. Logan's probably the death. I put that in my top five superhero films of all time, for sure.
Yeah, Logan's amazing. I just could watch it over and over.
I gotta see it again.
Yeah, you can feel the weight, you know, of all the movies that came before.
Oh, definitely,
you know,
in
that death scene. It was really, really freaking good. And, you know, the Wolverine, I enjoyed, but it didn't, like, the ramp up to the end was so anticlimactic.
It was a long movie.
Kind of stupid, and
to find out it's just an old man trying to stay alive longer.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, X-Men Apocalypse definitely had some problems. And there was a point where he did grow in the dream, but he should have been big the whole fucking time. That would have been so much better. But, I don't know, soft spot. I like Last Action Hero, remember?
When they killed Apocalypse at the end with the big X girders.
We're like 10 of 15. We're 10 of like 5 people who love that film.
Do you really?
A lot of people hate that film, Last Action Hero.
Oh, I love it. I fucking love it.
I do too. I absolutely love it. So smart, so funny. So it hit so many different... if you're a movie fan, the thousands of nods, you're like, what the hell? This is great. You know, this shit making fun of itself. I dug it. I can't believe it got the level of shit that it did.
Did it lose anything watching the TV version versus the movie version?
I mean, they might have replaced a few hells and dams with craps and or you know whatever. But
bad voice over,
and maybe cut things out just for time. But I don't think there was like any graphic stuff they would have had to cut out for television.
No, it was PG-13.
Yeah. The problem that film had is they fucked the scheduling of it up. It came out the same weekend as Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah.
And it came out on the Sunday following Jurassic Park. So it wasn't even a Friday night release. No,
what the hell?
I don't remember the story. Someone botched the scheduling with it, but
they probably aren't working anymore.
I don't think it would have, like, won any fucking Oscars if Jurassic Park wasn't there by any means, but it would have gotten more attention, I think, than it did in the shadow of the dinosaurs, you know. But yeah, I love the film. I got the action figures hanging on my wall, Kevin. I'm in the shit.
Boy, you are a pussy magnet, I can tell.
They are lined up out the fucking door, buddy.
Oh, my Lord. The action figures from Last Action Hero. First of all, I didn't know they made any. I had the Burger King cups for the longest time, so I moved out of my parents' house and had to throw that shit away.
I got one up on the shelf way up there.
Yeah, you do.
You got a Burger King cup? Get out of here.
I do. I do. I don't have the sleeve that goes over it, though. That's long lost.
That's right. It was like this stupid, like the flip book animation. It's hilarious.
Yes. Yes. I'm a sucker for that shit. I love it.
I even had all the Batman Forever, like, cups from McDonald's, little glasses, if you recall those.
Oh, yes. I never had any. Brooke had some, though. Yeah. I remember those. Those were cool.
Yeah.
They were better than the movie.
Really? Most student films are better than that movie. Well, yeah, Jim Carrey saved it as the Riddler. Otherwise, it would have been a complete... I mean, it was terrible nonetheless. But it was awful. But yeah, but Batman and Robin, holy shit. I mean, I remember seeing a preview for that. I was like, this looks terrible. I went out, of course, I still saw it. And I'm like, it was even worse than I even could possibly imagine.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, were you ever a Batman, like Adam West 66 fan?
Yeah, I loved it. It was on the AMC channel. Oh, no, the Family Channel when I was like a kid. So that's how I caught it. My dad was a Batman fan. We saw the Batman movie. We taped it. That's how old I am. But yeah, I liked it. It was cute. My brother and I will still text like quick lines from that film back and forth. It's campy. It's cute. But then, of course, then the Michael Keaton stuff came in. I was psyched out of my mind for that. For sure.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. It was Joel Schumacher who did Forever.
Yes. And 3 and 4, right.
Yeah. Right. So I'm just convinced that, you know, when they asked him to do this, he didn't even bother looking at the new Keaton stuff. He just only had a vision on Batman 66. You know, Adam West Batman when he made these movies.
Well, I forgot what he said, but someone said, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but it was like he wanted just to, like, make it so bright and all that stuff. And one guy goes, yeah, he just gated up is what he said. It's pretty funny, I thought. he just gated fuck up. That's what he said. I'm like, oh, yeah. It's just too flashy. That's why the Burton stuff worked. It was dark, dreary, you know. You felt the gravitas of, you know, with everything with him. With the other one, it was a fucking music video with the other ones, you know. Just goofy and
all the black light and makeup and neon everywhere.
The Batman TV show was tongue-in-cheek about being the campus. This was like trying to be serious about it. Like, nah.
Right. Yeah. Wrong approach. God, Batman and Robin was just... I could just tear it apart like a fucking...
Everyone else already did. Let's not go through that juggernaut yet again.
Well, the one thing I just got to say is how stupid for Alicia Silverstone. She found the cave... I made you a suit. You're a hero. You know, come on. Anyway, moving
on. They said she had to squeeze in that suit, that like she was fat, and they had to work her ass off and get her in that suit.
Oh, I'm glad I brought it up now. Wonderful. What else do you have in the way of superhero films, or do you have anything else you'd like to mention?
Ant-Man 2 comes out this weekend. I don't care. I saw the first one. At first, I was like, eh. Then I watched it again. I'm like, okay, it's fine. I'm sure they're going to answer the question, why wasn't he in the Avengers? But I don't think I'm going to go out there, even use my movie pass and go see this. I just don't. I don't care. Ant-Man's a fine, fine film. The second one, I don't know. There's no one in there that gets your goat going, as they say. So I have no desire for that. What else is on the slate from Marvel this year? Is that it? Or
Black Panther?
Another one?
Oh,
I
liked it. It was good. It is not near as great as everyone made it out to be.
No, like, I feel the same way.
This is a white guilt special where everyone was like, oh, it's so good. I was just saying that. You're trying to be progressive. It's totally cool. But no, we're not buying it. Even black people are like, no, it's fine. It's not as great as you guys are making it out to be. Like, this is probably like, I said it was good. It's not great. And that's... probably I put it like middle of the pack of all the superhero films. I mean, all those X-Men films I mentioned are better. Blade, Captain America 2, 3, Avengers 1, all those are all better than Black Panther. It's fine. It's good. It's not great.
I really liked it. I mean, again, definitely not my favorite Marvel film, but I don't know. Like, my attraction to it was the villain.
That's what I was going to say. If it wasn't for the villain,
he was good. He was probably one of the better villains we've seen especially in the last 10 years, let's say.
Yes.
Great villain. That's what I think would really elevate it. Otherwise, it would have been just,
without a doubt. Without a doubt. Because if it was just a normal hellbent, you know, on getting power villain, totally throwaway movie. Mm-hmm. But it was that villain where, you know, like in the movie, like when he's visiting his father's spirit at that tree or whatever it was, you know, you really think like, wow, you guys are the bad guys in this scenario. You know, you have to clean up the mess that your father and your forefathers have all done. This is some fucked up shit, you know? So it was right. it was a good pull on like, who do you root for really here? I don't know. Maybe I'm looking too deep into it. I don't know.
No, I agree. I agree. That's a good assessment.
Any others to mention?
No. I think that's the slate. Obviously, I wait with everybody else with bated breath for Avengers 5. Is it next year? Four.
Yeah.
That's going to be the big one. I heard they're trying to reboot Blade. Bad idea. Blade 1 is great. Yeah. 2 is pretty solid. 3 is a piece of shit. I tell you what, you want to go reboot something? Go reboot, and they already tried, and it's terrible. Fantastic Four. All of them are terrible. I didn't even bother with a new one. No, thank you. But, I don't know. I think new Spider-Man is next year. That should be good as well.
Yes, with Mysterio. That's all.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy about that one, that villain. I thought they were going to light the Scorpion with the end of Homecoming. So I was like, oh, all right, that's cool. Let's see what they got. But
I am so excited for Mysterio.
Scorpion, they'd probably treat myself like they did with Shocker. They'll just be a throwaway character.
Yeah, they always.
All right, here you go. Next year, I'm looking at the slate. You ready? Captain Marvel, don't care. Avengers 4, do care. Spider-Man 2, well, real Spider-Man 2. Fine. The New Mutants, I don't even know what that is. Dark Phoenix, don't care. Gambit, probably don't care.
Gambit?
And Shazam.
Gambit's coming out next year. Really?
That's what they say. That's been working.
Well, you know what? Hold on a second. 2019, it's Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
You know who is directing this? Doug Liman. I love his films. I love Go. I loved... he did the first and the third. He did the first Bourne. I know that. He's done a lot of good stuff, Doug Liman. Now you might have me interested. Edge of Tomorrow, I love that with Cruise. American Made, I did not like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I'm trying to think of what else he did. Swingers, of course, was great. Anything else that's jumping out of here?
That not turn really out, those were all, a lot of those are good movies, yeah.
Yeah, well, a lot of those. So, yeah, he's doing it. I may give that a look, but... Gambit, so it looks like we're batting 500 next year. Avengers, Spider-Man, I don't know about the New Mutants, maybe Gambit, the DC, no thanks. And Aquaman comes out this fall.
There's a trailer out for the New Mutants.
And it's like a horror movie, yeah.
Yeah, it does look like a horror movie. It's a weird-looking angle. I don't know. I'm anxious to see it. It looks like it's a way different approach at people with powers, you know, rather than just turning them into heroes. Here's the torment from them. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see for sure. I still have a lot of hope and faith in the upcoming Venom movie. I think that's...
Yeah, I forgot about that one. Yeah. That looks pretty good. I'm a little bit weary, though, of its release date, which is middle, end of September, which is the kiss of death. Right around, I guess, early October is when they bring out the shit, you know, until Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So the fact that
the
it's not then, I mean... I think they could have bumped it up to August and been cool with that, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And make money. So the fact that they're waiting, I don't know.
Gambit, I don't know about coming out because that's been in the works since we started this podcast about 5 years ago. So
that's true. Yeah. We've been talking about that quite a bit, haven't we?
How many of these films were in development hell for so long and they finally get picked, you know?
Yeah, I just, you know, it's been crazy that it's been 10 years of Marvel films, and, you know, not only those films, but, you know, all the other superhero films that have come out during the past 10 years with Marvel, that this wave hasn't collapsed on itself yet. Mm-hmm. It seems to be as strong as it has ever been. It's going to collapse, no doubt.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of these, you know, side movie things is kind of what's going to do it.
we're not learning our lesson with Solo, are we? Just stick to the main stories. I would love to see like a House of M story. That would be really cool. Or Planet Hulk, or, you know, whatever.
Captain Marvel's got me kind of excited because it's dealing with the Skrulls. The shapeshifters that they took over the Avengers forms and stuff. So,
and you know, I'd have to agree with Kevin in the fact that with Ant-Man and Wasp, I could really kind of give a shit. When the first Ant-Man came out, I didn't see it in the theater. I saw it after it came out on DVD, and it was good. I had fun with it. It was very just predictable, just very rhythmic, I guess. Very what's the word I'm looking for? Just here's your bad guy, here's your good guy. They'll duke it out at the end. The good guy wins.
It's a comedy.
Right. But from what I understand, Ant-Man and Wasp is supposed to, you know, really shed light on the quantum realm, which is supposed to be the answer in Avengers 4, right? Is that what I'm gathering or what I've been seeing?
I haven't heard anything.
So I want to see it in that aspect, that it's holding big chunks of information for the next Avengers.
Yeah,
I'll wait for this. I'll wait from word on the street before I decide to go invest 2 hours of my life.
Sure.
I'm still trying to figure out if Sicario 2 is worth it. It tanked the theater. The reviews were decent to moderate. So I was like, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, it's always a gamble going to the movies, isn't
it? Pretty much anymore. Yeah.
You never know.
This summer, and I was breaking it down in my reviews. This summer's been pretty good. Like last summer was dog shit for films. I mean, it was just awful. It was probably one of the worst stretches of films in the summer that I can remember. So this has been a pretty good summer. I mean, I think we can retire. And I also saw Incredibles. That Won't You Be My Neighbor, Mr. Rogers documentary is great. But this has been a good summer. Last summer, God, I'm trying to remember, it was just so awful that I lost my mind. But yeah, it's been a pretty good summer. No complaints really here.
Last summer, I think of Logan and Guardians 2.
I hated Guardians 1 and 2. I think they're lame. I'm not a fan of that.
Really?
Not at all. Nope. When you make the basis of this film to me are the soundtracks. That's it. It's the hero. Okay, Starkiller, he's fine. The raccoon, Bradley Cooper, meh. Everybody else is very generic, and the villains are so ho-hum for Guardians. It was so boring. Here's some of the films from last year, by the way. Logan Lucky, boring. Dunkirk wasn't impressed. Very beautifully shot, though. Atomic Blonde was pretty good. Spider-Man, like, it was great, like we had said. The House was kind of funny. Baby Driver was decent. Fate of the Furious, if you're a fan of that.
That was no, I didn't like Spider-Man either.
Yeah, but yeah, it was a pretty weak summer, I thought, versus this year. So
yeah,
well, but yeah, not a fan of the Guardians. I like the Guardians the most when they're in the Avengers, because it wasn't 2.5 hours of them just talking about music, him playing music and talking about his dead parents and blah blah blah, the same shit. Michael Rooker was fine as a villain, but it wasn't that much going for me with that film.
We're just going to have to agree to disagree on that one. I rather enjoyed the second one.
Okay. You're allowed to have your opinion, even though it's very wrong, but nonetheless.
All right.
Well, I'm just kidding. I'm fucking with you guys. It's a load off your backs, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Goodness, I don't have
any other films for this year, I think, are coming out that are of note.
I can't either. I mean, other than Venom is the only other one I can think of. There's something else. Oh, there's this is not a superhero movie, but Bohemian Rhapsody is coming out in November.
I think that's going to suck. About it. I think it's going to, I mean, I think I'm going to see it, but just something about it tells me it's not going to be as great as everyone is making it out to be.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, they never are. They're never as big as the hype, but I don't know.
Well, I think if Sacha Baron Cohen would have been Freddie Mercury, I think we'd all be like, holy shit, this is going to be the greatest biopic in a long time. But something about it, I don't know. I don't know. So my spidey sense says no, but I'm sure we'll find out eventually.
That we will. That we will. Are we getting any more Star Wars this year? I hope not.
I don't think so. No.
Needs to go.
No. Next year is next Christmas. Then is 9 in the end. I'm just trying to see what they're going to do after that, because you know, since Disney bought them, they're just going to keep that money printing press flying. And
they're holding off a little bit on doing any more other Star Wars stories.
Like until, side stories, but yeah. From what I understand.
Well, no, that's it. I think they said they're really going to curtail it. I mean, imagine this. Imagine they put out Solo before Rogue One. Rogue One would have never happened. I mean, Rogue One really got the ball moving because it was great. So they go, all right, fine. Rogue One hit, maybe Solo hits. I mean, the script was so busy. The script got changed a bunch of times. They went through the one director quit or got fired. Ron Howard came in hoping to save it, and not really. So it was trouble from the get-go. But, you know, well, what's next? A Nien Num side story.
Just a bunch of
IG-88 or Salacious Crumb biopic too. I mean,
Oh god, I hate that thing. I hate Salacious Crumb. No, thank you.
I heard they're going to do a Boba Fett story, which is horrible because he's the most overrated character in the obviously in the Star Wars, but also I think in film, I think he's one of the most overrated characters ever.
Agreed. He looks cool.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's
I agree
cool.
with both of
them. That's it, though. Yeah. That part. Fucking disappeared, didn't it? Yeah, no. Very overrated. Everyone loves him for what? I don't know.
Yeah, what's he ever done to earn
fashion.
It?
Yeah, he follows Han Solo great. Gets into very little combat, and like I said, he goes out like a bitch in Jedi.
No shit, a blind guy hits him by mistake, and that's his demise.
Exactly. If he's such a badass, why is he getting bopped out by that? You should save it for a major battle.
Because he's a pussy, that's why.
There you go.
Oh, no, I totally agree with you. We actually, just a few weeks ago, got to speak with the kid from Attack of the Daniel Logan, who played him. And I kind of asked him that. I was like, what's it like playing a character that has all this buildup for no reason?
Anyway. And he's like, buddy, I have no clue. I'm just an actor trying to take a paycheck. That's it.
Nope, that is not what he said. Boy, he is passionate about the character.
What did he say?
Check out our interview on YouTube.
Yeah, no, he loves what he does. He is passionate about it. He's probably the number one supporter for the Boba Fett movie because he wants to play Boba Fett again, mm-hmm. and he's getting all this armor made.
He's got a suit, doesn't he? He said he had one.
Passionate. I mean,
yeah. You know why he is? Because House didn't keep that money coming in for those Star Wars convention shits. Exactly. Otherwise, he better be fucking passionate.
Exactly. All right, well, let's swing the door shut to the comic vault. I had a comic, but we are running long here, so let's just turn our attention over to Kevin. Not that I'm complaining, because this has been a hell of a lot of fun talking movies in the comic vault. It doesn't happen very often. Mm-mm. I enjoy it. But anyway.
Good. Having fun myself.
Good. Glad to hear it. And I'm excited to hear more about comics watching comics. We checked this out on Amazon, and my God, it's a fun concept. It's kind of like America's Got Talent meets Shark Tank or something, you know.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've never heard the Shark Tank reference. That's something that's
just very where you're placed down in front of these pit bulls, you know, and just ready to critique you. It looks horrifying to me. Like if I was the comic on that TV, like I would be so petrified. But tell us a little bit about the show, how it got started.
It's funny. I call it. It's Last Comic Standing meets Mystery Science Theater 3000. That's my
little. That works perfectly.
That's even better. Yeah, that's better.
That's why I have a show, boys. I'm just kidding. how it got started. I was at an open mic one day. I'm a comic. I've been a comic for 8 years plus now in the city. And one day it was just a supremely bad crop of comedians. And I was texting my friend, busting their balls back and forth. I'm like, well, this is kind of fun, but, you know, you just can't make a show out of it, right? No. So I was like, well, you know, at the time, Last Comic Standing was on the air, and I was like, well, I hated it. I think with the exception of Norm Macdonald, he was the only one who had an opinion that wasn't, you know, cotton candy. Like, oh, you're so great. You're fantastic. Oh, you're the best. He was like, this sucks, and here's why. Like, that's what I want to hear. Like, no, not everyone is great, all right? Not at all. So he was the most real one on the show. I'm like, well, what if we do this but for intermediate comics? Because in the city, I mean, there's thousands of comics. Everyone's trying to get stage time, not enough stage time. And it's like, well, let's try something different where we mix and match and have the reality of it. The twist, though, is this, guys. I mean, obviously, we pick a winner at the end of each season. the home audience plays along too. They pick their favorite panelists that they want to see come back to the following season. They vote on Twitter at Comics Watching, and they pick their favorite panelists that they want to see come back. And then you're going to see in season seven a few, actually all familiar faces. So it's the all-star panel edition. Season six should be up in the very near future. We'll see. Amazon's been a little bit tough with their demands for broadcasting, so it's been back and forth, making sure everything is correct. So, but yeah, that's season six should be coming out. The live show we taped, which is the prize for the winning comedians. You're going to see everyone doing stand-up. Myself, panelists, the winning comedians, some semifinalists, as well as some people who ate shit on the show, and I call that section the redemption section, where we give them each a minute, and the audience and the crowd there at the club, they vote via applause who their favorite comic was that night, and then they will that person got a spot on the show that night, and you're going to see all that, like I said, on the live show, which will be going on to Amazon in the very near future.
I can't wait to watch it. And you know, it's funny when you just said we did this show live. I just imagined a comedian trying to do a set and being roasted by.
No. Yeah, right.
I mean, I know what you get. I know what you're saying.
We don't have repartee. We don't sit there and have repartee. We sit there. It's straight stand up. It's not us like, well, let's talk about that set. No, it's not at all. It's the winners. It's the panelists. But yeah, we don't do that. We're trying to do a live show where we do that. We're in discussions with a main casino chain in the U.S. And if it goes through, you'll see it hopefully all around the country in the near future. But we will be doing it then. But no, not for the live show. Not for that show specifically.
That would be really cool. I'd love to see that. So tell me about the panel of comics you have selected. Now, you say they rotate through the seasons. Is there anyone that's always there? Is it always a new set of comedians?
It's a new set of comedians, but we do have one master panelist who stays the same. That's Jeffrey Gurian. That's the guy with the hair. What seasons did you guys watch? Just so I know.
I jumped around between, I think, 2 and 7, I think. Or 6?
Six is out. Yeah, they're only up to 5 out.
Did you pay for the fifth season?
It hasn't been the last season.
Yeah, it was the last. Well, yeah, the last season then.
Yeah.
With Gino Visconti and Mark Riccadonna.
I don't remember the names, but boy, do I remember hair. Yes. When you said hair, I remember that.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. He's a master panelist, so that's he's the mainstay. But yeah, like I said, you'll see a few of the familiar faces in the All-Star Show. That's it, the All-Star Show. God damn it.
And are these all people that you just know personally? I mean, how do you select these?
Yeah. There are some I know personally. There are some who are just very well known in the New York circle. We're obviously trying to really get bigger name comedians. But then again, when you're operating on your own show budget, Amazon does not give me a budget. I pay for my own pocket. I just get money from Amazon for views. So, yeah, I got to get money out of my own pocket for this. So that's trying to figure out how to get these bigger names on a lower budget. So that is a trick. But yeah, we're trying to get some bigger names. We're talking to a few people right now, and hopefully they come through.
With the comics that you guys are sitting there watching, are they like acting comics that are actually kind of touring or just doing their own thing? Is it like an open mic night type thing?
No. These are comics, and that's a good question. We're trying. We get the – it's for intermediate comics. Yes, some people do lie, because I do have a requirement that you've been doing for 3 years, but some people do lie and say they've been doing it for 3 years, but, you know, you can see by them they're just being that new. They're not 3 years in, because they're not doing that well. But, yeah, there is a qualification to do it, so no. Everyone that you see there, it's not like it's a we call it a kamikaze comedy where – hey, everyone, you're eating dinner and boom, a comedy show breaks out. No, everyone submits. Like, there's a submission window that opens. I watch the videos. I approve people. I pick people to appear on the show, and that's how it works.
I'm jealous. I wish we had a show like that. That'd be fun. It'd be so fun. But I'm not saying comedians scare the shit out of me because they're so quick, they're so sharp witted.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I can never be that fast. I can never come back that fast. Yep. So I don't know. I feel for that comedian. Even if his set is horrible, I'm like, oh my God, if that was me.
Give me an hour, I'll come back with a good comeback.
You know? Well, that's the thing, though. It's like, you should have 5 minutes set up that are great. You know, right. You know what you're getting into. This is not like 2 days later, you're in front of me after I accept you. You've got plenty of time to get your shit together. And if you don't, well, that's on you. And you know what you're getting into now. The show's been around for long enough. It's been, you know, the word of mouth has gotten around. So it's, you know what you're getting into. So don't fuck up.
So have you ever had any of the comedians like you've critiqued or roasted on, like, come back and be like, hey, what the fuck?
I invite that, as a matter of fact. I invite people to make videos, and only two people have done it. I call it the answer back video, where I say, look, you know, if you didn't like, if you like or did not like what the panel said, put a video up. I'll air it unedited. I'll put it on our YouTube page, and you say what you want to, and I'll air it as is. And that's the majority of it. I'll hear through the grapevine, like, oh, so-and-so thinks you're an asshole for skewing him. I've heard some people be like, oh yeah, your show, I never watched it. I heard bad things about it. But then I watched your show, and then I watched the person who's my friend, and hey, you guys are right. That person fucking sucks. So it's not directly, indirectly, to answer your question. I've heard that.
How cool. I've seen that one comic we were watching down there a little bit ago.
Oh, boy. My God. Yeah.
Like, give me a name. You got to describe him or her, whoever it is.
He had a jersey, a beard, and a man bun.
Ah, DJ Doke.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. He actually, you know what's funny? As bad as he got it, he was like, oh, hey, man, that's cool. At least I'm on IMDb now and Amazon. And I'm like, yep, yes, you are.
Hey, there's a bright side to it then. Sure.
Wow. Yeah,
so yeah, he was so preoccupied with making people think he had been with a 15-year-old.
Yeah,
you're like, yeah, dude, that didn't happen. You know, that's one of Gino's things. He'll scream at the TV, goes, that didn't happen. You
know? And I don't remember
once you take people out of once you take people out of their environment, they're just like, that didn't happen. That's bullshit. So fuck you.
I don't remember who the woman was in that scene, but she couldn't get over the jersey.
He chose
to wear the jersey.
he chose to wear that or something like that, I think she had said.
It was a choice.
That's it. You got it.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, that's the show. It's on season 6. Should be up any day now. It's been long enough. But yeah, check it out. Go on comicswatchingcomics.com to see some panelists doing stand-up in the past, as well as some of the photos from the live shoot and other photos. And you can buy a t-shirt. Ha, ha, ha. Hey. I've got merch, too. As well. So that's you can see all that stuff on comicswatchingcomics.com.
You're going to have to let us know when that sixth season comes out. We'll push it on the show here and let our listeners know.
How fast is this episode going to air?
This is going to be going up this coming Thursday evening.
Shit, I want to think it's going to be hopefully up by then, but I can't promise that. Okay, I'll let you know what's up if it gets up.
Oh, I mean, cool. Just anytime it gets up. It doesn't have to be on this episode.
Cool, yeah.
I just mean like if it's 3 weeks from now, let me know and
we'll push it.
Mention something and push it on social media and all that happy stuff. One other thing I did want to touch with you on was that you're a fellow podcaster with two shows, the Safe Word PC and the Sportsbook Box Office Podcast. Can you tell us about your shows?
Yeah, Safe Word, unfortunately, has gone away. My lovely co-host and comedy wife, Monica Vita, moved. She's from Denver. She lived in the city for years, but she had to go back. Her mom's needs to be watched over, so she's in Denver. So the Sportsbook, the Safe Word podcast has bit the dust. Sportsbook Box Office Podcast, we're on ice for a bit. We're finding a new studio. Our producer from our last place was absolutely fucking useless, and it was impossible for them to rely on him to set up and do our podcast. So we're looking for a new venue. We may have one, we may not, we'll find out, but we'll be back eventually. But yeah, Sportsbook Box Office Podcast, it is what it sounds like. We talk sports, we talk films. My buddy Jeff Paul and I, he's another comic in New York. You will be seeing him in the new Robert De Niro Al Pacino film called The Irishman, which will be on Netflix soon. He's got a small part in that. He's another, like I said, comic buddy of mine. He has opinions. They're usually wrong, and I love telling him why he's wrong. And you can check that out on iTunes. And hopefully we start up in the very near future. We're supposed to, but we'll see.
That's awesome. It's always fun to pod. I mean, it's so addictive. Once you get doing it and you feel like you're doing it well, I mean, who's to say if we really are doing
it? Yeah, really.
But when you feel like you are, it's infectious. It's therapeutic, we always say. But, man.
Yeah, that's Sportsbook Box Office on iTunes. I don't know if I said that or not. But yeah, on iTunes, Google Play, all that good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. We'll push that as well, man. I can't wait to give it a listen. And you've got so much under your belt that I don't think we could possibly get to all of it today. But I would like to get you back on the show sometime in the future to go over some. You're a voiceover actor too, right?
Yeah, I am. I am. It's funny how you said we'll have you back in the future. I go, oh, they're going to try and slang a Back to the Future reference in.
Being shit. Didn't even dawn on me. See?
This is why you're not a comic.
Fucking fast and sharp. Look at him, Kevin. God, you're proving me right every step of the way here. Oh, my God. Well, I urge our listeners to go to KevinGoatee.com. We're going to have links on our website to that and be pushing it on social media as well. And
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff as well for my name.
Yeah, yes. We'll be pushing all those different places. Kevin, thanks so much again for being here with us today.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the time talking to you guys. Really fun.
Jack, what do we have on the website?
Go to CannedAirPodcast.com where you can check out our special guests, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media, visit the Hall of Heroes to see the Wall of Justice, check out some of the videos from our YouTube page, click on that merch button and buy something. And if you have any comments or complaints, send us an email on our contacts page.
And don't forget to find us on social media, Twitter at CannedAirPod, Instagram at Canned_Air. Get on there and talk to us. We want to talk to you people. That's the place to do it. There in Facebook, of course.
Yep.
And once again, patreon.com/CannedAirPod. There's a whole nother show awaiting new people, and there's going to be cool rewards like t-shirts and mugs and all that happy crap to coax you into supporting this little two-bit podcast. You're going to get a shirt whether you want the damn thing or not. And also keep an eye out and an ear to the ground for our new series. I would imagine it's going to be, probably a couple months anyway it's ready to launch. But What If? You can find us on, right now, Twitter, I think, is the only place we have to go at What If Series. Facebook's up?
Yep, it's just What If on Facebook.
Yeah, there's not a lot happening on either of these formats yet, but at least if you're following, you can be there when the show itself does launch. So check that out. Anything else, Jack? Anything else?
That's all I've got.
Well, until next time, I'm Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And I'm Kevin Goatee from Comics Watch of Comics. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you. And thanks for listening, everyone. Jet ski.
And yet you keep trying.
Scarlet!
That's like your sixth try. You obviously don't have any talent. Have you thought of giving up?
Maybe I should just try again.
Maybe you should try listening to Canned Air Podcast.
Well, at least now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
He, in the beginning of the book, he's walking down the road. Or no, let me back up.
Oh, woo!
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.